I knew the song was going to do something. When I heard that song, I said, this song going to do something. I didn't know what. And I didn't know it would be as big as it still is.
In 1971, Gene Knight released the single Mr. Big Stuff, produced by New Orleans recording icon Wardell Kazare. It went to number 2 on the Billboard pop charts and number 1 on the R&B charts, and was nominated for a Grammy that year for Best Female R&B Vocal. This Friday, Gene will join Ernie Vincent and the other recipients of Offbeat's Lifetime Achievement in Music Award on stage at Generations Hall for the Best of the Beat Awards. I got a chance to talk to her before the show about her long career in music.
Well, when I first started, it was about 1965, 66. My cousin had a ballroom they called the Laura Playhouse. And I used to go over there, and any band that would be there, I would jump on the stage with them. So one Saturday, I was up there, and Wardell's brother, Sidney, came in, and he said, girl, you ought to be making records. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. He said, my brother is a producer. He said, you ever heard of Wardell Kazare? I said, oh, no, I sure haven't. He said, well, I'm a fix it up for you. My nephew-in-law, King Floyd, we went into the studio on the same day. And I let King go first because he had to go to work at the post office. And we came out with the big hits, he and I. Groove Me and Mr. Big Stuff.
And you guys tried to shop that song to Stax Records, and they turned it down originally,
right?
Let
me tell you something. They tried to shop that song to so many people, and nobody wanted it, I'm telling you. But after they took King Floyd's Groove Me, then that's when Stax said, we need to listen to the other stuff that he did. And Mr. Big Stuff ended up being bigger than Groove Me. I think he sold 1 million, and I sold over 7-8 million of Mr. Big Stuff, you know, so far. Mm-hmm.
How surprised were you by the success of that song?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I said. I said, I know this song is going to be good, but I don't know how big, but I know it's going to be big. I did have that feeling, you know, because it was what the song was saying. When I first heard the song, I said, you know what, Dell? I said, I like this song, but I don't like the melody. The melody was so different from what the song was saying, because the song was like a woman that was sacking a guy out, you know, and it said, Mr. Big Stuff, who do you think you are? I said, oh, no, Wardell, that ain't gonna get it. And so another songwriter came in. His name was Albert Savoy. God bless the dead. But anyway, he said, no, Gene, he said, we all know how sassy you are. And so he said, well, how would you say it? I said, Mr. Big Stuff. He said, that's it. Keep on going. Keep on going. And I took one take with that.
So you put a little more assertive kind of rhythm to it.
Oh, yeah.
So you came up with the main melody for that song.
Yeah, I sure did. I most certainly did. I mean, it was nothing to it, you know, because it was like a part of me. Because, see, my ex-husband, I was thinking about him when I did this song. Mr. Big Stuff, who do you think you are? You know, I was thinking about him, and it made it go off so good.
So you actually had a specific guy in mind when you were singing that song.
Oh, yeah. It's good to have somebody in mind when you do them songs, you know.
When were you married to this fellow?
Oh, I think we got married in 1967, uh-huh. I think. Yeah, 1967.
I take it things didn't go too well.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. No, it didn't go too well, but we was like friends, you know, but...
Yeah.
That man, he was a mama's boy. You know, holding on to his mama's apron. I couldn't take that. His mama could tell him everything what to do.
And so tell me about what happened after that record came out.
Well, it was like my whole life was turned over. I mean, at that time, I was working at Dominican All-Girl College uptown on Broadway. And I tell you what, Dale called me one day. He said, Gene, he said, We gotta go to the Apollo. I said, oh, no, I can't go nowhere. I do not. He'll tell you this if he was alive today. I said, I don't have anybody to take my place at that place, and I'm not going to leave until I get somebody to bake them cakes and pies like I do. And so he said, well, all right. I said, he said, well, we'll set it up maybe for next one. I said, well, that's giving me more time. I could do that.
You didn't want to abandon the bakery just to go off and play at the Apollo.
I didn't want to leave the people in a bind. I didn't have anybody to take my place. and do it like I did it. You know what I'm saying? So I said, oh, no, I can't do that. Mm-mm.
How was it when you finally made it up there to New York?
Oh, it was fantastic. I got to the Apollo, and I just couldn't believe I was in this big old place, you know, where all these people had been, and they got all these famous people. I got my pictures on that wall, too. You got everybody who done been there on the wall, you know. I said, wow. I mean, my eyes got that big. I'm at the Apollo Theater. And so, actually, James Brown Band, Maceo and the Kingsmen, they played Mr. Big Stuff for me.
So James Brown's band backed you for that song.
Oh, yeah, they backed me. Sure did. And what that guy name was, he blowed a sax. And he, I never forget him asking my husband, he said, man, he said, what is your wife on? He said, what are you talking about? He said, she must be taking something. He said, oh, no, she ain't taking nothing. He said, the people turn on, and they do. I get turned on from the people, you know. I don't use no drugs, no alcohol. I don't do none of that stuff.
So Mr. Big Stuff went on to get a Grammy nomination in 1972 for Best R&B Vocal Performance.
Actually, it should have won. I mean, I was told this by several people, it should have won, including Aretha Franklin's brother. He told me, say, you know, you should have won that. I said, oh, really? I just let it go like that.
Aretha Franklin ended up winning that year for Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Uh-huh.
It's not a bad person to lose
no,
to.
No, and Frida Payne also was in. And in 2009, I went to Europe and Frida was on the show. And she said, oh, girl, I was so upset when they put Aretha ahead of me to win. I said, well, I didn't feel upset. I felt honored to be nominated in the category with her, you know. See, everybody don't see things the same way, you know, but I don't let none of that stuff blow my mind, you know, whatever is, is.
So what happened in the aftermath of Mr. Big Stuff? Where did you go from there?
Well, after that, my career kind of went like halfway down because Wardell and Stax wasn't getting along. They had a problem, and it was Malico that was all hooked up in it. See, I wasn't signed to Malico. See, King Floyd was, and I'm so happy I wasn't, because by me not being signed to them, that's what made me able to get the monies that I got and still get for Big Stuff. I'm so glad I wasn't hooked up with them, Lord. You know, Wardell broke off with them, and I said, well, I'm going to see, can I find me somebody else? You know, so at that time, Isaac Bolden came through. He said, well, I got a song. I got something I want you to listen to. I said, well, let me hear it. It was My Tutu.
The Rockin' Sydney song.
Yeah. I said, oh, Isaac, I said, it don't have but one verse, you know. So I said, you think he'll let me write? Because I was good at writing at that time, too. So he said, I say, you think maybe he'll let me write another verse? He said, I don't know, because he kind of strange. You know, talking about Rockin' Sydney. Said he was strange. I said, well, just ask him and see. So he said he asked him, but he didn't ask that man. But anyway, he said no. He didn't want nobody, you know, he didn't want nobody add nothing to his song. Well, Rockin' Sydney had some strange ways. He really did. But God bless his soul, because he's gone too. But, I mean, you know, he didn't want nothing added. So I said, well, I'll do it like it is. Isaac said, well, I'll tell you what I could do, Gene. I said, what can you do? He said, I can put a bridge in there. He said, and that'll make it better, you know. I said, it sure would. And that's what we did, and it came out all right.
Mm-hmm. That was 1985, right?
Yeah, 1985.
And what are you up to nowadays?
Nowadays, I relax. I'm telling you, I'm like semi-retired. I'm kind of just want to relax, you know what I'm saying? Because I've worked very hard in my life. You know, I done baked, I done nursed. You know, I'm also a nurse too, you know. And I mean, I done did so many things until all I want to do now is relax.
So you'll be taking the stage with Ernie Vincent at the Best of the Beat Awards this weekend. Do you have anything special planned for that?
Nothing specific, you know. I just plan on getting up there and doing Mr. Big Stuff. And I know Ernie's going to play it good because he know it, you know. In fact, I sang with Ernie Vincent before I ever even made a record. He'll tell you that. I mean, I used to jump on the bandstand with him, too. Because he used to be by my cousin's place, too. I mean, I knew Ernie from way back. Yep, I knew him from way back. And he's a very, very pleasant man. Very pleasant. I just hope the place is real full Friday, you know, when we do the gig and everybody enjoy themselves. That's all I hope, you know. In fact, I know they'll enjoy themselves, but I just hope it's a nice pack house.
Thank you
know?
For coming down today. And I guess we'll see you on Friday
you.
Night.
You're so fantastic.
I mean, thank you.
Very, very pleasant. I pick up a good spirit from you. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. Uh-huh.